So Andy asked me to see if anything that I felt the Lord was saying. I had a couple of things. One I wished I'd given on Friday night. It was for Mark and Nesta. So I wish I'd given it before their news. And it was, well done. You've been really faithful in everything the Lord's called you to, and it's now time for something new. And yeah, so it's just a bit more of a confirmation now these days rather than new information. But as I was praying for Synergy and for the Southwest, I had a picture, and the picture was of foot soldiers, medieval spearmen to be precise, and they were silhouetted. And as the picture developed, I could see a bright, fiery light behind them. It turned out to be a huge bonfire, onto which the foot soldiers were throwing stuff, bags and the like, as they marched by. This is what I felt the Lord was saying. That the move of the Spirit, that the Lord is calling you to partner with, is one that involves everyone. Foot soldiers are the ones who actually do the job. They don't necessarily have roles of authority. They might seem unimportant, but they're at the forefront of the battle. And the Lord wants to extend his kingdom through you. Secondly, the sense of the picture was offensive, not defensive, that it's time to expand. And thirdly, it's time to cast into the fire the weights that easily entangle and that stop us serving the Lord with our whole heart. As it says in 2 Timothy 2, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. So that was the picture. It's pretty straightforward. It's nothing. Nothing massively exciting in that, but just an encouragement, really, that everyone has a part to play, that the Lord's on the move, and don't get held back. That's probably the simple thing. And I'd just love to pray for you all now, if that's okay. So, Father, I just want to thank you for what you're doing amongst the churches involved in Synergy, and specifically everybody within it. Thank you, Lord, that you're always on the move, that your Holy Spirit is active. And Lord, we just want to partner with you. So, Lord, I speak blessing upon everybody involved in Synergy. Lord, that they might know the vision that you've placed in their heart. They may know the call. And I pray that the fire that you've placed within them, they'd stir it up and take hold of everything that you're calling them to. That they cast aside any restraint, anything that would hinder them in the walk that you've got for them. And Lord, that they would just enjoy the multifaceted ministries that you're calling them into. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. We'll hold on to that word, those three points that you drew out of that foot soldier picture and that brilliant light. Thank you. Let's bring in Mark and Nesta now. And we'd love to hear from you, Mark and Nesta. I love your care for us all and the way you've watched over us over the years.
It's really special to feel that we are part of the Southwest family, and we are so looking forward to being geographically nearer as well. And the words that the Lord put on my heart today for the Southwest were three words, and it's match your stride, which, for those of you who are not familiar with that expression, it means walking together at the same pace. And so when Andy showed the picture of climbing Everest, I just thought, yes, they have to agree a pace because the rope between them is only so long and they have to move at the same pace. And then when you, Andrew, started talking about foot soldiers, I thought, yes, they have to, more than anybody else, match their stride so that they are walking, as it were, in formation. And Mark and I, when we go for walks, we sometimes have a bit of difficulty with the difference in our height and size of feet. I used to be a very fast walker because I used to take lots of small steps and Mark would take big strides. But over the years, we have learned to actually walk together and match our stride, and discovered that when we do that, we can actually hear each other talking, and so it makes for a better experience. And sometimes we want to go more quickly than the Lord wants us to go. And I appreciate so much the prayer for us for our somewhat delayed house move. We are expecting a miracle this week as a result of that prayer. And yet, as we look back over these last 2 months, we had hoped to have moved at least 2 months ago. But over these last 2 months, we've been able to have amazing quality time with very, very long-standing relationships, many of them, because we've had the time to do that. And we've also had a chance to revisit our beautiful Peak District up here in Derbyshire and just commit to memory some of those favourite places that we've loved over the years. And yet we've discovered that the timing in God is different from our own desires. And I think for us as churches, post-pandemic, if we are post-pandemic, we want to get things moving. We want to get cracking with, you know, getting back to some of the things that we did have before. But I just felt the Lord wants to say to us, match your stride to the stride of Jesus, because then when you're walking together, you can clearly hear what he is saying. That's it.
And really just adding in a little bit onto that, I just know that for all of us as churches coming out of this long season, last 18 months or so, it is a new season. It's a new season for the church. And I believe that this is a time not for actually coming out with fixed statements and declared even sort of objectives and things, but actually it's a season for questions. And the key question, I think, is this: what are you doing, Lord? What are you doing? And where are you at work? So we stay flexible, we stay sensitive, and as Nesta says, we stay in step, if you like, matching our stride with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord in what he's wanting to do. So there is, I think, a season of flexibility, but actually that's quite, it takes a bit of courage sometimes to not just set out our plans as we've always done before, but actually to be sensitive to him and to be more in, if you like, in a questioning mode. Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing next? What are you doing in us? What do you want to do through us as a thing? So I think this season is, Jesus actually rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees for being able to read the signs of the season in the natural, but missing the spiritual. And I think we need to be sensitive to what God's doing in the spirit in these days. So again, let's just pray for each of the churches there that are represented in the Southwest. And actually you collectively, because I think God has joined you to walk together in step as well. So, Lord, today we call you God of wonders. And I pray, Lord, that this season, this fresh season, this new season, may be a season in which for each of the churches there in the Southwest, this may be a new season of following you, Lord, not trying to make you go where we want you to. But, Lord, be in a time when we can inquire of you, Lord, and to lean into you and be sensitive to you. I pray, Lord, that as we even this morning touch on this making all things new, that, Lord, there will be something fresh that blows by your spirit through the church in Hatherley, Lord, through the church in Exmouth, through Exeter and in Bridgewater, Lord, Lord, in any other place that's connected in any way. Lord, may the breath of your spirit begin to blow and make things new. Lord, our heart, and it's always been, Lord, is to find your heart. And your heart is that greater things will come. And so we pray your blessing, Lord, as we stay and we mark our stride, Lord, we stay in step with you. We pray blessing on the Southwest in this fresh season that you want to do, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that encouragement, Mark and Nesta. Appreciate you guys. And let's just bring in Exmouth. I think there's a picture that we'll hear as well, and we'll sense whether God's kind of drawing all these words together, but we'll see from Mary, if we're able to bring in the Access Centre at this point. Hey, lovely to see. Let's give a wave to all the folks at the Access Centre. Brilliant to see you. And if you could share with us then, Mary, that'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah, I think it really does tie in with what God's saying already. I said to God, was there anything that he wanted us to hear this morning? And I saw a picture that I got on the we actually got it in South Africa. It's a little laptop cleaner, and it has lots of feathers, and it's really light. And to clean the laptop, you just very gently. And I felt God say he wants a lightness in how we approach things. And I think it just ties in with being set. God has spoken to us here from various people that we should be in step with Jesus. And it clearly comes back to taking his yoke, because it's easy and it's light. And I think God is saying, as we look forward, as we keep in step, although it might feel a bit heavy and marchy at times and we need to keep going, there's a lightness in it as we walk with him, because his burden is light, his yoke is light. And actually says easy. And I think God really wants to encourage us as we keep into this new season to keep that lightness of spirit and not get bogged down. And if one of us is bogged down, the whole point of walking in step is you help the person up and you say, come on, we can do this. We can do this together because we yoke to Jesus.
Thank you, Mary. So we're collecting together what we sense God is saying to us. He's calling us forward to more adventure, perhaps, but together. And it's not going to be a burdensome thing. This is his joy and his lightness of spirit. So thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. We receive your words with your creative energy within them. We weigh them and think about how we apply and live out more of your purposes in Jesus' name. Amen. And as you may have noticed, that has been recorded for us, so we have a record. So thank you. And now, you mentioned, I think, there, Mary, South Africa. We're going to start thinking about beyond ourselves right now for a few minutes. It's not all about us just here in the Southwest, is it? God's kingdom and purposes are extending from us. And in a moment, I think Mike will introduce or will play a video from Bonnie from Community Church Exmouth, who is in South Africa. But while this is playing, can we all have a think about people in contexts, maybe in other nations or in this nation, who've been sent out or were connected with in some way that we would like to be thinking, yeah, they're part of God's purpose and I'm concerned for them and I'm wanting to pray for them, basically. Have a think through all the different situations we're connected with, people, where they are. And you have an opportunity to pop that in the chat as well, if you can use the chat function. Let's collect the wider list of names, places, anywhere where we're associated with, and pop that in the chat. But over to you, Mike, back down in the Access Centre in Exmouth, and we're going to hear from Bonnie.
Hello. I've switched cameras rather than come all the way around from where I'm sat at the technical stuff. So here I am. As Andy has said, Bonnie is very much part of our family here in Exmouth. She was part of this church quite a few years ago for some time, but now for many years now, she's been in different parts of the world, most recently for I think 7 or 8 years in a rural part of South Africa, where she's an important part of a church there. She was with us for about 18 months, unexpectedly, because she was back here visiting family and then ended up being stranded here for a lot longer than expected because of the pandemic. And that was actually a very great blessing to us, because she was a very active part of our church while she was here. She then eventually got back to South Africa about 3 or 4 months ago, and we asked her to do a pre-recorded update of what's been going on since she got back. So here we are. I can share the screen. We will hear from her.
Hello. Hello, everybody. If you don't know me, my name is Bonnie, and I'm part of Temba Community Church out here in South Africa. We've got such a fabulous relationship with CCE. Mike and Mary have asked me to share a few things with you, a few updates of what's happening here, but I thought it'd be good for you to just see. That's our church down there. It's in some old farm buildings, and we serve a lot of this valley around here and beyond. Okay, so a little update on what's been going on in the last 3.5 months since I returned from the UK. When I returned, the previous pastor and his wife, they were moving on anyway. And so I was put in charge, looking after the church until the beginning of October when the new couple arrived. During that time, we had a lockdown happened, and then a lot of civil unrest in particularly our area, KwaZulu-Natal, our province in South Africa. And we had a lot of outside help because food provisions were very, very difficult to get hold of. But CCE actually were the first church to respond. And you sent money through straight away so that we could buy some cabbages from one of the local farms and at least get some fresh vegetables out. And what I was able to do was to get out on the road and just take food to very needy families all over the place and just let them know that God still loved them, still cared about them. The response was incredible. It helped me to reconnect with people as well after being away for so long during the lockdown. So I was able to do that, and as a result, people just wanted to come to church. So when church opened, we were amazed, and people just came from far afield. There was one lady who walked 14 kilometres to get to church. We took her home, of course, afterwards. So as numbers have gone up in the church, we've seen people stepping into roles of service and of leadership, which has been really, really good. And then at the beginning of the month, the new couple, the new lead couple, Jason and Joanne Watkinson, they arrived. And Jason's heart is to equip people, particularly for leadership. And so we had 70 people at this conference, and many people came forward for prayer at the end and wanted to step up and say that, yes, they wanted to sort of move into leadership and were interested in training. Today was a really, really great day. We went out to a family that lived 25 kilometres away. And the gentleman, Mr. Zuma, he's got a real heart for Jesus. He's broken away from a lot of the ancestral stuff that happens here. And he's one of the people that stepped forward. You know, we can see as a leader, and this we're looking to plant a connect group there, and some people from the area came this morning, and we had like a little service really, and it looks like this is going to be quite successful. Actually, I'm going to train up Mr. Zuma so he'll be able to plant this church there eventually. We hope it will turn into a church plant. So it's all looking positive with the new leaders, and yeah, I'm just really pleased how things are going. I'm quite relieved. Carrying it for 3 months was quite tricky. So it's great that the new leaders are here and we're able to sort of move forward together. I'm excited for what's to come ahead.
Isn't that fantastic? That's just amazing. And we can thank God, but we're going to pray now. We're going to have these moments of prayer. And I've got with me a couple of things here. I've got this mini globe, and I can see that South Africa is south from us here. Now, we're going to get involved in some prayer, everyone, before we hear from Aled and Catherine this morning. We're going to pray for God's kingdom to come in our world. Now, that could be north, south, east and west. So, who have you been thinking about? Type in the chat, please. If you'd like to mention someone for prayer this morning, wherever they might be, let's type those things in. And we're going to pray for Bonnie included, but anything else that you, anyone else, anywhere else you can think of. Why don't just type those in the chat now if you can? We know we've got lots of connections. We heard from Tim and Martina yesterday in Italy. I think they're southeast from us. Okay. Now, the way we're going to do this is we're going to have a chance to stand up. Okay. And to pray. It often says about it talks in the Bible, doesn't it? How people stood to pray. So today I'd like to invite you to take a moment to pray. And we'll do this all aloud together, but muted, I think, at this point in time. But stand And let's work out where north, south, east and west are, shall we? Now, think about, oh, you might have that thing on your phone. You might have a little app for north, south, east and west. And this just gets us moving a little bit, doesn't it, as well, at this point in time. And as these names are coming in the chat, we've got seven or so far. There's people getting mentioned all around the world. That's great. Lovely to see. Reminding about Sophie. Yeah. The folks in Kazakhstan, folks in Romania, in China. Yeah, brilliant. All sorts of situations. India. We are very linked with India. Remember Italy. We've talked about that. Ben Tagg is in North America, of course, from us in ISCA. These are the folks. Right. So let's stand up, shall we, and face a direction where you think more or less they would be facing, where they are. Which direction are they? The sun, I know, rises over that direction here. So I know that's going to be east and west and north behind me and south. Now, let's begin to pray, shall we? And if you think of other names, type them in the chat. Make that your prayer today as we pray for God to move in his world and as we give thanks for Bonnie. So I'm going to be quiet just for a moment. Let's lift our voices in prayer and then we'll sum up with a further prayer for Bonnie, which I'll lead in just a moment. That's it. Let's go for it. Just for a minute. We've got this time to pray. Let's lift our voices to the Lord. Pray in the Spirit if you don't know what else to pray. We pray for these folks. Yeah, remember France. So, Lord, we thank you for what we are a part of in your kingdom and in your purposes. Thank you for so many called into your purposes and that you have us as part of something much bigger. And we're sharing in an exciting adventure of your kingdom coming. So we bless Bonnie today in South Africa. Thank you so much for her faith, for her energy and for all that you're doing in growing and building things there for your church. So be blessed, Bonnie, we pray in Jesus' name right now today. And, oh, and Lord, thank you for our family. Thank you for all that you join with us. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Very good. So we've had a chance to stretch our legs and we're now ready to hear from Alad. Alad and Catherine have been patiently waiting. We'd love you to just to have your freedom today, Alad, to continue to encourage us in what God has given to you for us in this whole thing about him being the God of wonders who's making all things new. So we bless Alad and we open our hearts to receive from him now and make sure we're doing all those creative things alongside if it helps us to listen. Thanks, everyone. And thanks to Alad.
Bless you. Well, what a great morning we've had so far. That's been excellent. I was just wondering out loud here and on text to Mark whether Bonnie wanted to come and lead Synergy. I thought she was quite good. Like, go Exmouth. You're sending people everywhere, but like that was good work. You must be doing something right down there, Mike and Mary. Congratulations. Well, guys, God bless you. This is Catherine.
Hi, morning.
This is my wife. We've been married 8 months or so. Forgive me if you've heard all this story before, but it's just a wonder to us. We are amazed at the goodness of God after both losing and becoming our first husband and wife and became widowers and widow ourselves. And we are thrilled at the work of God in our midst. And going to mention a bit about that today. We've had a fantastic weekend. We've had a great time Friday night with some leaders of the Synergy Southwest area. And of course, we've had a great day yesterday talking about the God of Wonders. And the wonder, the greatest wonder of all in my eyes, is that the church exists, not because we're trying to keep the doors open, but because of the variety of people and the nature of the Holy Spirit at work in each of us together. I think it's amazing. And this morning, we want to talk a little bit around the issue of making all things new. Do you like new things? We're in a brand new season, as you can hear. We have a new wife, new husband. But people like new things. They have new cars. They like new phones, new jobs, new jabs, new start, new day, new ideas. Maybe it's a new season, new manager, new players, new hope. Same old Everton. Just desperate, desperate, desperate day yesterday. We all say that everything will be better when the new thing happens, perhaps, or we hope everything will be good when the new thing arrives. But I don't know about you, but I don't know how many times in a week or a month I write the phrase or variant of this, looking forward to seeing you. Do you ever text that? Write that in the bottom of an email, or I don't know. Apparently, people check their devices around 110 times a day. 110 times a day. What are we looking for, do you think? Good news, perhaps. Has somebody got saved? Is there any news on the person in hospital? Have they had the baby yet? Is there a photo from the party last night? I don't know. Have Everton won? Will pigs fly? You know, all of those type of things are involved in what you're doing when you check your phone. But actually, sometimes it can be the fear of bad news, and we are kind of checking it out of a reaction. I found myself doing that after with Helen's struggle with cancer. I kept checking my phone. It became like a nervous tick because I was just on edge, alert all the time to a text to come home. But Psalm 112 helps us with that and tells us that actually those who are in the place of blessing and the people of God don't have a fear of bad news. And I think that's a good thing to bear in mind this morning, that there is peace in the kingdom of God that far outstrips anything that any self-medication or anything like that can offer. The thing is that you and I are created for eternal joy. And I think we're looking for joy. I think we're looking for happiness. We're looking for good news. We're created for abundant life in the here and now. And as the Christian story goes, since we lost Eden, we've never had a complete full day in our lives. I mean, in that sense, a day of complete fulfillment. Even in the best days we've had, they come to an end and are tinged. They're never quite as perfect as we think they might be. For example, my daughter, Sian, was married a week before lockdown. And it was a magnificent day. But it was tinged with sadness because her mother, Helen, my wife, was not there. She had died in the October beforehand. I did the same thing. I walked my sister down the aisle many years ago, and it was a fantastic day, but I realized it shouldn't have been me, it should have been my dad. And so that's the heart of it, isn't it? We were designed for more, but we kind of want what's coming, but we have to live in the now and the reality of it. But we're not destined. We're not designed, really, to die. There's eternity in our hearts, and something in us reaches for more. And we're hungry, I think, for purpose, for meaning, for something else that makes sense of this life. And you and I are participants in the Christian story, and we feel like God has explained things to us, shown himself to us, and given us a hope that goes beyond the grave. We long for the kingdom of God. We long for life as it should be lived, for safety, for security, for extended holidays in the sun, I don't know, for freedom, for singing. We long for the kingdom of God. We're designed for it. We're designed to hope. And I need more than a hope in some football team or a hope that the weather will be fine on my holidays. I need an unbreakable, unquenchable hope. And 1 Corinthians 13 tells us about that. You know, these things will last forever. faith, hope, and love. A life without faith, I think it's difficult to find meaning. A life without love is, wow, it's difficult to live sometimes in a life without love. And a life without hope is, it's like a dark cell with no exit. Hope is so essential to your humanity that the Bible says it's an anchor for your souls. Hope enables you to look forward. It's the confident expectation that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and it doesn't stop when you die. Can I ask you, where is your hope these days? Where are you placing it? What's it in? Who's it in? Is it temporal? Is it temporary? Or is it a little bit more eternal? If you've got Bibles, would you turn with me to Revelation chapter 21 and verses 1 to 5? They'll be familiar to you if you have been here following me this weekend. And if you've known your Bibles a long time, then you'll also you'll be familiar with this, because this is the great passage of hope. But before we get to that, I just wanted to mention this other verse that Jesus mentioned. And I'll just mention it in passing, which is that Jesus talks about the renewal of all things in Matthew 19. This word renewal is this word palingenesia, which is derived from two words, paling, meaning again, and genesia or genesia, meaning beginning, coming back from death to life. When Jesus said that all things would be renewed in Matthew 19, the disciples would have understood him to mean that all things on earth were in view. That it would be Genesis again, in other words, the renewal of all things would be Genesis again, Eden would be restored. Now look with me, if you will, to Revelation 21 and verses 1 to 5, and I'll read it out to you. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first heaven, for heaven almighty, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. Note that. God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They'll be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. How wonderful. What a hope that is. Praise God. I love this passage because it gives us a hope that goes beyond the grave. So could it possibly be that Eden would be restored? Could it possibly be that Genesis would happen again? That's the implication here. Because as you can read in verses three, God's dwelling place is among the people. Wow. He will dwell with them. They'll be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll be with them. You think, that's amazing. And then you see the first heaven and first earth and this new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven in verse 2 from God. Heaven's coming down and God is going to dwell with people where, well, in the Genesis again, Eden restored earth. It's like it's coming down. You see, the biblical picture of the renewed cosmos differs in the Bible from that of many Christians and popular theologies, I think. We often conceive of heaven as our eternal home, and we think of it as an entirely spiritual, non-material place, and call it heaven. The idea is, of course, then that eternity is populated by purely spiritual beings. That's this idea of floating around on a cloud idea with a harp for eternity. And I've always thought that sounded terribly boring. I don't know about you, I just thought, gee, I don't fancy that really, especially if I have to wear a white dress. That, well, you know, all bad, nothing good there at all. But I'm reassured here that the Old Testament and the New Testament writers anticipated a new earth blanketed by heaven, rather than individual beings being snatched up and away to live forever in some ether in a heavenly world beyond the cosmos. John envisions exactly the opposite. In John's vision, God takes up residence in the new creation. That is, the dwelling place of the citizens of God's eternal community will be on the restored and renewed earth. Here at the very end of our Bibles, John is telling us about seeing a new heaven and new earth. It's interesting because early on in my walk with God, I was under the impression that actually God was going to wipe out all of this and go back to the drawing board, starting it all over again. And I always wondered, well, what was all that about then? What was the point of that? Well, among the very last words that Jesus speaks in the whole canon, he says, I'm making all things new. The Jesus of Revelation 21, in my view, is not a Jesus coming to blow this universe to smithereens and start over with a new one. No, the Jesus of Revelation 21 is renewing all things to their original intent in a way which far surpasses that which has come before. In the same way that Christ brings Israel's storyline to fulfillment, he is bringing the story of the universe to its ultimate goal and purpose, which is what? Union with God, dwelling with God. It's Eden restored. We're walking with him on the earth in a perfect and beautiful garden city. Eden's been restored, but it's also been surpassed and exceeded, and that's what's in view. The universe of Revelation 21 and 22 will and won't be a completely new universe. Jesus isn't offering a divine reset button. He's promising that all the brokenness of this creation will be reconnected with God's original vision for it, and that we will once again be as good as new. That is so fantastic. It's great news. Why? Because if you're a Buddhist, then you can look far further forward to a total non-existence in nirvana. That's what a major religion, that's their offering. Or a Hindu, you can have everlasting tranquility of death, i.e. zip, nothing happens. It's seriously unimpressive compared to the Christian hope. Redemption always beats annihilation. I'll say that again because I reckon we need to remember this. Redemption always beats annihilation. Behold, verse 5. Look at verse 5 with me of Revelation 21. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Write this down, he says to John, because these words are trustworthy and true. He's almost saying it in verse 5 to John to say, you better write this down, John, because you won't believe it after I've said it. It's so good. You better write this down and remember it. It does seem so good to be true. But read it carefully and let it sink in. We're partnering to get our synergy. We regard these verses as key to our purpose and reason for being. We feel like God's given us this idea of partnering together with him in the renewal of all things. And in this context of this verse from Revelation, we might think that actually, well, that's too big for me. I've got no part to play in it. But I just heard a story from South Africa where a church in Exmouth actually participated in the renewing of all things in South Africa by participating, by sending people and by sending money. We've got an active part to play in Exeter. Let's just think about the beacon for a moment and bringing about the renewal of all things in the lives of people who are broken and busted and have no hope and no future. You know who these people are because perhaps, just like me, you were one of them. Pre-Christ, I was me, but it was a much rougher version and it had no grace. and there was no truth, and there was no hope, and there was no light. It was just a lot of energy and a lot of despair. And then Christ comes, and Christ takes what I already was and makes me new. I become a new creation, but he starts with what's old. He didn't wipe me out and start again. He takes what was Allard and, thank God, renews me and makes me brand new. I'm a new creation in Christ. And he's done the same for you as well. It's new, you know, as we look forward to heaven and this heaven on earth, the quality of and consistency of what God is offering is the same, but radically transformed into something even more fresh and beautiful by contrast. It's interesting here, isn't it? Because I think the phrase almost lends itself to, for you to think, oh, he's going to make all new things. Well, actually, he doesn't quite say that. He says he's going to make all things new. He's not going to make all new things. He's going to make all things new. And there's a key word here. In biblical Greek, there are two distinct words, both translated as new, but with radically different connotations. Neos means new, as we normally think of it, a new car, new book, new day. Neos means something that was recently created. But neos is not the word used here in Revelation 21, verse 5. What we have instead is a word called kainos, which also translates as new, but in a very different way. Something that is kainos is new as to form and substance. Unlike neos, which just means something recently made, kainos indicates something unlike anything before, of a form or substance previously unknown, or something that is better than the one that came before it, so much that it fulfills and even surpasses the original model. When my friend understood from Liverpool, her name is Julie Goodman, when she understood that part of the new heaven and new earth and part of the Christian hope was that she got a new body, and when she understood that there was, like, it was going to be better than the one before, she says, I'd like to be a foot taller and have longer blonde hair. I mean, it was a basic understanding of what is ahead, but I understood her heart. And she says, and she went on for a little while about eyelashes. So all of that's interesting, but not quite the full point. But if you think about this kainos for a moment, it's like having a house that you've just bought. But it needs a bit of work, or it needs a lot of work. I'm going to do up this old house until it's as good as new, or it's kainos. And this house won't be a new house, but it's been restored and renewed. It's new in substance, but it's better than anything that's been before. So it's an old house that's been renewed, but it's better than ever it was before. The new covenant in Christ was both intricately interwoven with the story of Israel, and yet it was totally unprecedented and unexpected, like a new chapter in the book, or in fact, actually a whole new book in the series. Jesus' new commandment was to love one another as he loved us. Well, that wasn't really new, because the commandment had existed before. But he says it's kainos because the introduction and model of his own love for humanity totally shifts our perspective on this ancient commandment. Our love for one another has a totally new meaning, foundation, motivation, and context, because it's rooted in the one who loved us so much. He took on human flesh, jumped into the muck and mire of this broken world, filled with a love that was so deep that overcame sin and death forever. That's who he is. And that new covenant signaled that type of action. It was new in the sense that now it was defined by Jesus himself. What about the new body of Jesus? He was the same Jesus post-resurrection as he was pre-resurrection. But as I was saying the other night, Mary and the guys on the road to Emmaus, at first they did not recognize him. And Thomas is saying, okay, I'll only believe if I see him. And then eventually Jesus reveals himself to all of them. And Mary recognizes him, and the disciples on the road to Emmaus recognize him. And Thomas says, I need to see the holes. And Jesus shows him the holes. So he's got a body that's recognizable as Jesus from pre-crucifixion. Post-resurrection, he's got the same body. He is Jesus, but now that body can eat fish, can drink wine, and walk through walls. I'm up for that. I want that. I don't personally. I need some new knees. Anyone up? Knees? Okay. Ankles? Anybody? Good. Thank you. Okay. There's things that we want, but walking through walls sounds fantastic. I'm not sure why, but just it's the idea that you can. And then last illustration before we're not far from concluding here this morning. The preacher's promise that keeps you going for another 5 minutes. God bless you. So what about New Jerusalem? New Jerusalem coming down, verse 2 of chapter 21. It's coming down from heaven. Interesting. It's interesting because it's not New York. It's not New Exmouth, and it's not New Hatherley, and it's not New Bridgewater, and it's not New Exeter. It's a New Jerusalem. What does that mean? Well, in keeping with everything I've just been saying, it means that it's recognizably Jerusalem, but also completely different and bigger. Why? Because we're all going to have to live there. In fact, the whole earth really is understood to be the New Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth. As heaven blankets the earth, we are living in the city of God, is the point. And the city of God will fill the entire earth. I was saying the other day that I went to Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. Anyone ever been to that cathedral? Very nice too. And I was just saying how what a wonderful cathedral it was, and hadn't been anything like it. And people are, you know, for taking photos, wandering down the outside, being tourists. And the middle bit, which was for worship, was empty. And I just thought, like you do, so I'll just go and have a quick pray, and I'll go in there, and I'll walk down the middle. And I kept going until I got to the altar, looking behind me, thinking someone's going to stop me eventually. No one was stopping me. They were just taking photos of pomegranates and grapes and nice arches. And as I was standing underneath this altar, I looked up, and there's a light that comes through there, which is shaped at the top of this dome, which comes through and shines directly onto the altar. But it's shaped like a cube. And if you know your Bibles, you'll know that the New Jerusalem is described as a perfect cube and other ways, you know, in another space in Revelation. And as I looked up at it, I saw this idea that Gaudi put in there. I thought, oh God, he's understood that the New Jerusalem's going to come down. And I'd never seen architecture that spoke into the Christian hope in quite that way before. And I wept. I just started crying. And then some guy came and shooed me away. I just remember it very quickly. I had a little moment of God. It was like with this with God. And he's going, oi, clear off. So I had to clear off. So like weeping away, wiping tears from my eye, getting rebuked by a Catholic cathedral person. So what does this mean for you and I? Well, look, it's quite straightforward and it's quite hopeful. It's simply this, is that Synergy Southwest, a lovely title, but those of you at Isca, those of you in Hatherley, those of you, you know, in Bridgewater and Exmouth, you guys are being renewed day by day, but you are going to be further renewed in the presence of God as you continue to walk with him. Everything still can be renewed even now. You say, well, you don't know our church. We've got like 58 people and a dog. And, you know, and the OHP, remember OHPs? The projectors don't work so well as we'd hoped. And, you know, the seats are a bit hard and the heating's not on. And how can God work with this? Well, God can work with you and work with that. He can do what he wants. The point is to not lose hope in the God who's making all things new starting now. Every single time somebody comes to faith, you are seeing the renewal of all things right in front of your eyes. When you see the presence of the Holy Spirit operating in your small group, or when you hear a prophetic word, and people start to change, like that word we heard from Andrew today, galvanizes us, and from Nesta and Mark, galvanizes us into a different perspective and action. Oh my goodness, God's still going to use us. Because the lie the enemy would say to us is, hey, it's nearly over. You might as well just manage the decline. And let's just keep the doors open and hope for the best. And that's what you can look forward to, when in fact, actually, God wants to say, do not be robbed. Turn that on its head and remind yourself who you're dealing with. You're dealing with the God who renews all things. And he can start with what you've got. What's he looking for? I think he's looking for faith. I think he's looking for conviction. I think he's looking for people who'll just say, don't pass me by. Like the woman with the issue of blood, that faith is manifest through struggle. You've got to fight a little bit, push a little bit to get to the hem of Jesus's garment. You've got to kick through a roof on behalf of your friend so that he can take up his mat and walk at Jesus's say-so. Folks, that's who Jesus is. That's who you are. And that's what God wants to do with us. He will do it. One generation or another is going to see it come in all its fullness. But right now, you can see it tomorrow. You can see it when you see men and women, boys and girls, just begin to turn to Christ and be healed or delivered or set free. Amen. Well, I'm saying amen, and Catherine said amen, so I'll take that as like we're all saying it. So hallelujah. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for having us this weekend. It's been a delight. Andy, over to you, unless you want me to pray or something.
We would love you to pray for us in seeing the Spirit work in us, delivering this hope into our hearts. We love it. So do pray for us, please. And we'll just be open-hearted, open hands to receive what God has for us as you lead in prayer. Thanks, Alad.
You go first.
And Catherine.
God, our hearts are open to you. And Lord Jesus, just as we stand and sit here now in our own houses and gatherings, my hands are up and open, asking God, come, renew me, renew my street, renew my relationships, and Holy Spirit, I want to receive you more fully again than I've known before. Because Lord Jesus, you want to bring your light and your truth to the people who I know and who are important to me. So God, we ask you together, the Synergy Southwest, come Lord Jesus, come to Exeter, come to Exmouth and Bridgewater and Heavytree, come to these places and villages and towns where there are people who will be calling out for you, some who won't know that they need you, and some desperate for some sort of hope.
Yes, Lord.
Come, Lord Jesus.
And Lord, we pray for a move of your Holy Spirit in seeing once again faith rise for new birth. New birth, Lord, why not? Why not us, Lord? Why not help us again to believe that we can see men and women turn to Christ? People we know, people we meet, people who live nearby. Lord, even in Hatherley. And we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, would you bless each church represented here today?
Yes, Jesus.
Father, would you strengthen each individual member of it, Lord? And would you cause your glory to come in the southwest of England? Father, we want to pray that time, you know, the idea of soldiers marching, Father, it feels like a new day there. I want to pray, Lord, for expansion, as Andrew identified earlier in his prophecy. To pray for expansion, Lord, not only in what is, but what isn't yet kind of like happening. I pray for new church plants, Lord, in Devon and in Cornwall, Father. We want to pray, Father, that you would fill this country with new birth, with new churches and with new life, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless you, Andy.
Amen. Thank you so much. You've really blessed us, encouraged us, and spurred us on. So thank you for all that you've been bringing to us of who you are. So thank you so much for that.
Pleasure. Thank you.
It's been a great time to be together. The recording's out. If you've missed any of it, we'll get the sort of recordings out in due course in the coming week, because we've had some richness to receive and some real encouragement. And it is time, isn't it, to be, as Andrew, I think, used the word, to be on the offensive. We're not just to be retracting or holding our own. We're saying God is taking us out in these new things. So great stuff. Been an encouraging weekend. But it's not quite over. We've got some time for some more interaction. And in a little while, there'll be some breakout rooms where we can discuss a bit more about what's going on for the new things for us, perhaps, and just share a bit of our lives together. We will have those across the Zoom rooms. Now, in different places where you're watching together, you may well just now have your own time together for coffee and so on. So we're going to have a little break in a moment where you can find yourselves some coffee or something nice to nibble on. And we will then just have conversation. As long as you want to stay, the meeting will remain open. We'd love you to stay, meet some new people perhaps on the call today, because we've got a good mix, and just be introduced to others. And there's two things that we can do in these breakout rooms today. I think there's been some brilliant stuff going on around the rooms, around new things or things being made new or renewed. Because as Christina said at the start, she was actually quoting the same passage that Al had read today about making new things from old. Can we discuss that, show those things around in the breakout rooms today? That's all ages. Let's talk about things that are being made new and things for us and families, anyone who's got some puzzles that you've been making or anything else. We'd love to see that in the breakout rooms. If you feel like you'd be could do with some prayer, then you might like to do that in your breakout room as well. Just to say, hey, will you just pray for me about this, that or the other? That takes some courage, doesn't it? And when the breakout rooms are formed, which I think Rich and or Peter have been working so hard behind the scenes today, we'll form those rooms. If you'd rather stay in the corridor and just wait, we will find some other leaders or others to pray with you this morning. If you would like particular prayer for a particular issue that you'd rather not talk about in a breakout room. But those breakout rooms will be formed in about 5 minutes' time. While they're being put together, you can make a coffee or grab a drink or something to nibble on. We encourage you to stay. Don't leave the call just yet. And we will be encouraged more in all that God has for us, the new things for the future and all that we're moving on to. So thanks very much to Mark and Nesta, for Alad and Catherine joining us this weekend. Thanks for everyone who's worked so hard to make it happen. We revised the plan once, then we revised it all again to get it like this. And believe me, it has been some hard work for a lot of folks. We really appreciate that, don't we? And give thanks to everyone who's made it for what it's been so far for us. Now let's live it out and take it on. So God, take us forward, we pray, according to your purposes and for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.